केशवद्वीत वामन रूप जय जगदीश हरि अपीयरेंस वामन अवतार एंड ऑल्सो श्रील जीव गोस्वामी प्रभु आविर्भाव महामहोत्सव तिथि ही जय Once a self-styled Vedic, so-called Vedic scholar, historian, we were in Moscow at Kaselny. He was sharing with me his way of observing Vedic histories. And very much concerned about dates. Right. And my natural response, I was just sort of thinking out loud. I said, well, actually, in Vedic culture, they don't put a lot of emphasis on dates. Sometimes an author, when he's concluding a work, like Chaitanya Charitamritam, he puts an encrypted date for some specific purpose. But the Western approach to dating is very different. They try to use dates to establish truth, you know, or fact. But it can be misleading, dates. Devalue the knowledge that is being given. But then he's talking back, and he said, no, you know, I beg to differ. In the so-and-so temple in Karachi, you know, someone wrote chiseled in marble something. That's another thing. Completion of a temple, completion of a work. He said, but they don't have conventional dating as they do in Western history. And as one Englishman who was in India, you know, in Her Majesty's service kind of thing, if you look at the beginning of the books, it'll always say something like that. He wrote back to his colleagues in England, historians, and said, you know, they don't approach this the same way we do. He said, they have history, but it's not always linear in the way that we have a tendency to approach things. And as far as dating and things like that are concerned, so they don't include that because they don't consider that it's important. You know? So what we think is like the most important thing is to them of the least importance. And this perplexes the Western mind. So when we hear Puranic narrations and even Jiva Goswami will say, when we hear about the Varaha Avatar, because it's alluded to in these pastimes of Vamandev and Bali Maharaj, that you know, in your dynasty, the mighty Hiranyaksha was killed by one of my relatives, Varahadev. And there's the Sveta Varaha, the white Varaha, and then the Rukta, the red Varaha. And Jiva Goswami says at one point, he said, actually, these two pastimes have been combined. You can do that? You can do that, right? Of Varaha rescuing the earth, that's one pastime, the killing of Hiranyaksha, another one, they've been combined. Kolpado, this concept was introduced by Jiva Goswami Prabhu for adjusting these apparent disparities. So, what I didn't say to, we're having a polite discussion, but I heard Srila Guru Maharaj explain something of value later. when he said, mentioned, generally, Veda's taken to be the original scriptures of the world. Like even there are scholars who agree, the Rig Veda, that's the original spiritual book, religious book, however you know, scripture. Rig Veda, the oldest of them all. And when we hear of Puranas, sometimes the word supplementary will be used, like supplementary literature. And we might get the concept, they're supplying some details to something else. But again, that might be misleading, because to say they're adding details would be an understatement. For example, with regard to the Vaman avatar, in Veda, all you find is Abhutakram regarding the Lord, saying it means he of wonderful strides. Like his steps are wonderful. But it doesn't, that's all it says. One of his names, he of, wonderful stride. Say, oh, maybe it means he walks in a very beautiful way. But other things could be understood, as we see in this pastime of Vamandev, about those strides. So one meaning of supplementary, when you say the supplementary literature, is that they are fulfilling what has been previously mentioned. And this is where it becomes very interesting. So Veda being the original spiritual book, the original scripture, but the name Purana, it means to fulfill, but it also means old. And as Srila Guru Maharaj said, and in this sense, it can mean older than Veda. And we say, well, wait, how is that possible? You just said Veda's the first. And then this book, which in a linear, conventional, historical sense appears later, is older. Well, welcome to, the realm of Veda, Vedic understanding, Achintya, another Jiva Goswami saying, Achintya Shakti, inconceivable potency, power. As we told recently in honor of the appearance of Balaram. So Krishna is the original, then his brother, just for the sake of, comes next. Right? And so then he should be the younger brother, right? No, he's the older brother. Balaram's the elder brother. And Krishna, Ramanuja, Anuja, he's the junior to Rama, Rama's little brother. Speaking of little brothers, Vamandev, Aditi, son of Aditi, two sisters, Aditi and Diti. Diti, her children are all called Doityas. They're of the Asuric preference. And the Diti, Aditi, the Deva line. To make this point, so how can we conceive that Puranas are in this sense older than the first or original scripture Veda? In this way, where it said, they contain knowledge, information, spiritual substance from prior creations. That's how they're older. So Veda's the first book within this creation, but these Puranas, which appear in a linear way later, they contain information, pastimes from previous creations. So that's how we can adjust these two things. So sometimes when we're hearing, as Jiva Goswami and the Kalpadu, when we're hearing some particular pastime, it may be many creations ago, but that's being transmitted into this realm by rishis. Rishi comes from drishi, drishtva, to see. And not, again, conventional seeing, but who are seers of the truth, observers of reality, and transmitting that. It's descending through them, through their divine vision, and being revealed in this plane. That's why it's called revealed truth. It's not the product, netihasa nikalpanam. It's not a historical occurrence in the conventional sense. Neither, then the mind says, oh, it's imaginary. No. So it's not a historical occurrence, and it's not imaginary. It's reality. Reality descending, being revealed into this plane for some time. That's why we hear this expression. We heard from Prabhupada long ago. Yeah. Prakat, aprakat. Prakat means manifest, but then the other one's called aprakat, not manifest. Doesn't mean like zero or vanished. Just means no longer visible in this plane. But Radha Krishna Nitya Lila Korilo Prakash. These pastimes are going on eternally. And as Guru Maharaj said, Nitya means circular, like the circle. A circle, you cannot see, a circle doesn't have a beginning, middle, or an end. Like that. Sun, the position of sun has its own fixed position, but according to perspective, local perspective, we see and say, oh, the sun is rising. Did you see that beautiful sunset this morning? Or the sun is setting. Did you see how beautiful it was? Or, as happens in this pastime, Abhijit, Bijay, the victorious time, best time, is to conquer the enemy is at noon. So his appearance really at noon. So it's a local relative perspective of the universal, beyond universal, absolute position. So Krishna can be seen, janma karma cha me dibyam evam yo veti tattvataha. His so-called birth, ajopisan avyatma bhutana, that the so-called aja, unborn, can be born. If you can understand that, he's saying, Tyaktva deham punar janmanaiti maameti. Then you won't have to be born again. So if you understand how the unborn can show pastimes of birth, you won't have to take birth again. That's very nice. So he's saying that these pastimes, it's not like they, from one point of view, oh, so then they happen millions of years ago, or it could be millions of creations ago. That's interesting and astonishing, and may be applicable in certain instances. But what's even more astonishing is that they're going on as we speak, right? And some divine personalities whose depth is such that they can, they're not just hearing about something happened a long time ago, but entering into that pastime. So we find, but among all the Puranas, the Bhagavat Purana, it's called the Maha Purana, the greatest, the Super Purana, Srimad Bhagavatam Pramanamamalam Prema Pumarto Mahan, because its subject matter goes beyond Dharma, Artha, Kama, Moksha, and reaches the fifth and ultimate goal of life, Prem. Krishna Prem is the subject matter of the Bhagavat Purana, and we should never forget that. Only by understanding what its purpose is can we understand what is presented there. But in this particular part of the Bhagavat Purana, as happens, there's the devas and the asuras, always, like in the Mohini Murti and the Kurm avatar shown at the Suvarnabhumi airport. Devas on one side, asuras on the other side, churning, seeking amrita, the ultimate nectarian substance. And according to one's perspective is how they envision what that might be. And there's always this competition for supremacy in the universe. Same thing we see here on a micro, relative microcosm, on a macrocosm, wanting to, really it means being a Shiva wannabe, wanting to be the master of Maya, right? Only Shiva is the master of Maya. Everyone else is deluded by Maya. So at this particular juncture, the Doityas or the Asuras, the demonic, they're in control of the universe, and the demigods are in a very precarious situation. Well, what does Krishna say in Bhagavad Gita? Paritranaya sarunam vinashaya cha duskritam. And yada yada hidarmashag, etc. Sri jamyaham tadat manam sri jamyaham. When religion has been modified to the point where it's turned into irreligion, and the asuras are persecuting the devotees, at that time, Sri Jamyaham, I appear. So many different avatars, incarnations, as listed in the song and elsewhere. We know ultimately, as the Bhagavatam says, as innumerable as the waves of the ocean. But Vaman avatar being one of the principal, so much so, Jayadev Goswami, glorifying this particular pastime in Das Avatar Stotram, which appears in Gita Govinda, which we should remember is favorite to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Listening to that behind closed doors in the Gangbir with Ramananda Roy and Srup Damodar. So Brahma, on behalf of the gods, praying for the Lord to appear and understands that the Lord from Kasyapa Muni, it says just like when you rub two sticks together, the fire can go from one, the fire appears. So from Kasyapa Muni to Aditi, Vamandev appears in her womb as her child, baby. And at the time of his birth, it's a cause of celebration for all the devatas. They're dancing, singing, offering flowers, and this beautiful Vishnu form, Vaman and Vishnu form appears, who has a Shyama like Krishna-like complexion, is so beautiful, the Sri Vatsa symbol, the Kastuba Mani gem, very charming and beautiful, and everyone is happy. And we're told, even the symbols, Shankha, Gada, Chakra, Padma, the conchel, club, disc, and lotus. Remember, they're all personalities, like we say Sudarshan. And this world, Chinmoy, Vaikunthiyari, Sakala Chinmoy. That everything there is Chinmoy. So they're also worshiping Vamandev. The club, the lotus, the conchal, everything, everyone, they're all full of praise for Vamandev. And then he assumes this dwarf form of a dwarf brahmachari, a little danda, kamandalu. And I think it must be very cute. Like inconceivably cute and beautiful and wearing little padukas and an umbrella. How charming. And so effulgent. Remember, it's Krishna, and you know, the Brahma Jyoti is his radiance. So, and everything happens instantly, like, because he's not a baby. Comes out, the young brahmachari. They have the upadiksha, he gets his diksha, everything. And it's, contributes to the pastime. Because after you get mantra diksha, right, and the brahman, what should you do? Right? You know, bhavati bhikkam dehi. You have to go begging, right? You have to go and request something for guru, and you know, that immediately after that initiation. So it just so happens, as Leela would have it, that Bali Maharaj, who at this point controlling the universe, but remember at this point he's technically an asura in this Asuric dynasty, of whom the jewel of the Dvaita, as mentioned in the Gita, why all these verses have increasing significance and are revelatory, why Krishna says, of the Dvaitas, I'm the devotee Prahlad. He's saying, I am in everything in one way or another. So even in a demon, I'm Prahlad. Say, well, Prahlad's not a demon, he's a great devotee. Came in that line. So Bali Maharaj at that time engaged in an Ashwamedha yajna under the guidance of the big guru Shukracharya and his assistants and everyone. And Vamandev enters into that scene. And everyone is astonished to see his radiance, his effulgence. They're thinking, has the sun god himself not appeared in our assembly? Or is it Sudarshan, the chakra of the Lord? Or is it Agni Dev, the god of fire? Look, we've never seen such radiance. He's just walking with his umbrella, kamandalu. Hi, everyone. I'm Vamandev. And Bali Maharaj himself, being so charming, think, oh, this is a great opportunity, since we're doing this yajna, to give some charity to a Brahmin. Oh, and this newly initiated brahmachari, Some thought it was like Sanat Kumar, one of the Kumaras, because the small size. Yeah. So you know, please come forward, and obviously I'm in a position of fulfilling any wish you could possibly have. Would you like an island? You know, you have your own island, or you know, some. And really, you have to think, when you're asking for, it should be like the last thing you ask for. That level. But so, what would you like? And Bhavandev saying, "Oh, well, of what I've heard of spiritual culture, it is not beneficial to desire more than one requires, more than you actually need. That's not good for spiritual development. So." All I ask of you is three steps of land measured by my stride. But remember, Adbhutakram, he of wonderful stride. And it shows also within these pastimes in various ways, there's sometimes element, you know, comedic elements, a little bit of humor, because you would think, in consideration of what he's about to do, that, you know, but he would be a giant, right? But to Muhyanti Yatsuraya, in the first look of the Bhagavatam, saying, even the devas will be bewildered. So how does he appear? As a dwarf. So even a normal person would be able to take up more land in three steps. But a dwarf means that it's really going to be a small amount. You know? So Bali Maharaj is thinking like, I get where you're coming from, the whole brahmachari mood, that's good. He's saying, but you know, you're also very young and inexperienced in the world, and I don't think you're properly estimating what would be helpful to you in life, and being that I'm more experienced, and also my holdings are vast, that it would almost be, an abuse on my part not to really reciprocate with you in a way that I think will be most beneficial for your future. So three steps of land measured out by your little steps is really a not well thought out strategy. Vamadeva, no. Believe me, it'll be enough, you know. And Bali Maharaj is like, well, suit yourself, you know. But his so-called guru, Shukracharya, is suspicious. Shukracharya is suspicious. Because he has some experience, some sort of spiritual vision, and he's thinking, this is no dwarf. This is a ploy. Saying, actually, if you think of our line, going back to Hiranyaksha, Hiranyakashipu, who is it who's always deceiving us and giving us trouble is Vishnu. Just as in that Hiranyakashipu, he's like, well, with Hiranyaksha, what do you do? Again, the whole small to large thing, you know, comes out of the nostril of Brahma, the size of a thumb, a little cute little, you know, like a panda, like a baby panda. and then grows into Varaha Dev. And then with Hiranyakashipu, not afraid of anyone, searching for everywhere, running after Vishnu. What does Vishnu do? Realizes, in this world, he's inescapable. So I will hide in the one place he would never think of looking. So in his heart, in the deep heart's core. Because the heart really is about consciousness. That is what the heart is. The deep heart's core means the core of your consciousness. Andantarastam paramanu chayantarastam. So Vishnu's hiding in there, lying back on Sheshananta, realizing he'll never look here. We don't have to worry. I was saying, twice, when they say, fool me once, shame on you, fool me twice, shame on... The two times we've been fooled by this Vishnu. And now three? That's like adding insult to injury. This is no dwarf. Don't be deceived by this cute little brahmachari dwarf with the umbrella, the kamandalu. It's Vishnu. And he's about to take everything away from you. Believe me, this is nothing for him. He's going to take everything. But then Balimar is thinking, like, what is everything for? Why do I have all this stuff? If for not service to the Brahmins, Vaishnavas, to Lord, what is the use of such possessions? Then they're not beneficial. Then they're, counter progressive. One of the names of the Lord is Hari, right? Yasyaham anugranami harishe tadanam shanai. Hari means one who takes away. So when Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj met at ISKCON Mayapur Chandradwaya Mandir opening, 1973, they're talking about how they met one another, and Prabhupada, his poor ashram, and Grihastha ashram, family life and business. And Prabhupada started laughing and quoting this sloka. Yasyaham anugranami harishe tadanam shanai, which is Sukadeva's response to Parikshit Maharaj. When Parikshit Maharaj said, I'm a little bewildered when I see the devotees of Shiva and the devotees of Vishnu. The devotees of Vishnu has Lakshmi Devi, the goddess of fortune, massaging his lotus feet. But his devotees are poor. They don't have anything. And then we see Shiva, he is naked. He's only wearing ashes for clothes, right? And lives under a banyan tree. He apparently is, a kinchin, this kin, he possesses nothing. But his devotees are very wealthy. So I don't understand that. And the response is, the reason Hari takes away everything is because this is not a blessing. To have material wealth, opulence, is not a blessing, but a distraction, a burden, if not used in the service of the Lord. That's the criteria. Is this wealth? So Balimar is saying, why do I have all of this if not to serve the Brahmins and their Lord? And Shukracharya, he's trying to, like Madhu Mangal in the pastimes of Krishna. Remember, Krishna is not a Brahmin. Krishna is not a Kshatriya. He's from the lower section of society, Vaishya. Like if there was a halfway line, they're below that. But Krishna is very intelligent, and he knows at times he needs a Brahmin advisor. Because when he's contemplating, especially if he's contemplating doing something devious, you need a Brahmin to find you a loophole somewhere in the Shastra. That role is fulfilled by Maru Mangal in the pastimes of Krishna. Right? He's the one, he's not a cowherd, he's a Brahmin. So he's there and Krishna's like, we need to do that. And like, yes, there is one section that says, and that could be interpreted this way or that way. And then they chart a course in the pastime. There, it's all fun, divine lila, divine fun. But here, Shukracharya is thinking of all the different ways. So hold on that water pot. You have to pour water. Hold off on that for a second. You know, he's saying, well, first of all, only if you start with Om, whatever follows after that is true. If not, not necessarily true. And we find in the scriptures, you know, he's saying, basically, I know you promised, because Bali's saying, but I promised. He's saying, but I think you can withdraw the promise, and I'll tell you why. Because he's saying, well, wait, if we promise to Brahman, you know, then only inauspiciousness will come from that. Well, there are certain times when falsity is not condemned. Oh, yes. Like when your life is being threatened, you can lie. You don't have to tell the truth at that time. Or all your money, or it said, and having certain discussions with women. That's mentioned, you know, I don't write, send your complaints to Veda Vyas, right? VedaVyas@gmail.com, you know. Or his Twitter handle, hashtag Veda Vyas, falsity, you know. It's there, we know. And different things are mentioned like that. When you don't have to be 100% honest, let's put it that way. So he's trying, but Bali Maharaj, remember, he's later to become, you know, the Mahajan Bali, one of the 12 Mahajans. So he's going to show by example how one should deal, that one should be willing to lose everything in the service of the Lord and his devotees. That should be the decision criteria. Right? And he's not, and he's also mentioned at, when we hear like Shravanam Vishnu, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam Padasevanam, Archanam Bandhanam Dasham, Sakyam Atmanivedanam. His grandfather, Prahlad, as the personification of Smaranam, because under so many trials, tribulations, torture from Hiranyakashipu, Prahlad is unwavering in his Smaranam, his remembrance. But when it comes to Atmanivedanam, which it culminates in, total self-sacrifice, Atmasamarpanam, Bali Maharaj is given as the example for that. And in the famous sloka, Guru Nasajat, Swajano Nasajas, Pita Nasajan, Janani Nashansha, etc., about when you can, one who's not qualified to be guru, and it gives all, you know, whether, you know, non-devotional husband, father against devotion. Prahlad can reject the father because it's Hiranyakashipu. That's kind of a no-brainer right there. If your dad is Hiranyakashipu, you can reject him. You know? And then other things are given. The wives of the Brahmins, the Vipraputnis, rejected their husbands temporarily because they wouldn't fulfill the desires of Krishna, Balaram, the cowherd boy. So different things are like that. But Bali is given as an example of guru. He rejects his guru. Why? As given in Mahabharata, guru rupi avilipthasya karjam karjam majanata upatta pratipanasya prityago vidyate. Karjam karjam ajanata. He no longer knows what between right and wrong. And we don't mean conventional right and wrong. We're talking about what's spiritually right and spiritually wrong. That's karjam karjam ajanata. And what Guru Maharaj is pointing, tamogun. So religion and tamogun, everything's upside down. What's high is now low. What's low is considered high. What's right is wrong. What's wrong is right. So Bali Maharaj rejects his guru, right? And complies with the request of Vamadeva. His wife comes out with Lala, they pour the water, washes lotus feet. And Bali Maharaj, understanding, he takes that water from the lotus feet of Vamadeva that's touched his feet, and it's mentioned the toenails of his lotus feet. And he's washed, putting that on his head and others. Why? Because Shiva does the same. The water from the lotus feet of Vama, it's indicative of something that's about to happen as well. The water, the foot bath from Vishnu, Shiva, Gangadhar Sadashi, he takes it on his head as worshipable. So, and everyone else there, and then now take your steps of land. And then what happens is he starts expanding for, and into Virat Rupa. And they see everything and everyone within him. The sun, the moon, the stars, the planets, the mountains, the oceans, all the devatas, the prajapatis, they're all parts of his divine form. They're included within his divine form. Right? So he is everything. Right? Which should make us make a particular type of questions gradually start to appear within our hearts and consciousness. Right? This is before he even takes a step. So he's showing first, Ahang Sarvasya Prabhavo, everything comes from me, including you. Right? You're all within me. The world, this world that you think you are the proprietor of, it's also, it's nothing within me. Ekang stenastito jagat, Krishna tells Arjuna. Arjuna, let me know when you've had enough. I do all, anksa, ekang, a little part of myself. You know, a part of a part of a part of a part is responsible for all of this. I'm too busy in divine play to give it any much attention personally. I have expansions and extensions for that. Then, coming back to his dwarf form, then he's one stride, adbhutakram, covering all, you know, om bhur bhuva, the bhur bhuva, the lower to middle, the various descriptions. Second step, he covers the rest of the universe. Covered everything in two steps. Yet he was promised three. Then Garuda is summoned to arrest Bali Maharaj for not living up to his end of the bargain. Promised 3 steps, only gave 2. Arrest him. Bali Maharaj, cuff me. With divine serpents, Garuda always has some extra. And now Bali Maharaj is there, arrested, about to receive his sentence. Why? He's saying, you promised me 3 steps and only giving 2. Are you holding back? No, everything's been given. Brahma coming, intervene, please, Lord. Why? But Bali Maharaj is thinking, me, your 3rd step, please. You see, here's my head with folded palms and a bowed head. I'm asking you, place your lotus feet on my head for your 3rd step. And Bam and Dave doing that. And then we understand the whole purpose of this pastime. What is devotion about? Surrender. Right? Sarva dharmam parityajamam ekam sharanam braja. Ahang tvang sarva papevyo mokshay shami masujaha. It's surrender to Krishna. Guru has compiled a book about it, Prapanna Jivanamritam. Saying, this is the central thing. Jiva Goswami saying, Gopri Tve of the Sharanga Sharanagari. This is central to offering oneself and taking exclusive shelter of the Lord, giving up everything for that. Then you can expect his protection, all these other things. But that has to be there. That's primary, the primary anga, right? Taking shelter. So many things. As shown when he showed Virat Rupa, why would Krishna, as Vaman, Jagadanda not Kotishvatseshu Vishuddhari Vibhuti Binam Tad Brahma Nishkalamanata, so many Yashayika Nishvatavalambra Jagadanda. So many universes are coming out of his pores, Loma Bilija. Right? Why would he, one universe caught his eye as worth possessing? Oh, there's that universe over there. They come out of his pores when he's in Yoga Nidra, half asleep. In one sense, they're of no specific interest to him. So why should he enter this universe and want to take it over? He wants to own the lower, middle, and planetary, the kind of things that mundane men aspire for. That is not his interest. Yashaham anugranami harishe tadanam janai. But to be merciful to his devotee. How? By taking everything away. And what is the outcome? Making them exclusively dependent upon him. So really the purpose of this pastime is to have this loving exchange with his devotee, the Mahajan, Bali Maharaj, and shine a spotlight on his devotion. He's willing to give up everything. And for him, everything's a lot. Right? Normally people think, oh, I have to give up all, how much do you own? What do you have? But Bali Maharaj, this is an example of someone who, in one sense, owns everything, has everything to lose. Without hesitation, he's willing to give up that and the name and fame that go along with it as an offering to the Lord and offering himself. That's what Vamandev wants. He wants the heart. What's in the heart of Bali Maharaj is his interest. And Sri Krishna Karshini Chasa, Rupa Goswami is saying, the heart with devotion can capture Krishna. And Brahma intervening, saying, oh, please don't punish. He gave you everything, including himself. Why? You know. But then, as the pastimes would have it, he's saying, well, his punishment will be, he'll go to Suthal for some time, but there, there'll be no anxiety, no disease. It'll be a perfect, wonderful place. Stay there for some time, and he'll end up running the whole thing. And not only that, I'll be with him when he is in the Suthal. Vamandev, in another form, is his doorman, Dwarpal. So everything, you know, happy ending. More than happy. Paramananda, supreme happiness. And the appearance day of Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu, who gives insight to all this type of interpretation. Is it Bande Rupa Sanatano Raguyago Shijivago Palago? He's counted amongst the six Goswamis, but primarily serving Rupa and Sanatan and the others. Just as Guru Maharaj says in his Bhakti Vinod Viraha Varasakam, Jivadyaya Barakshitam Sukha Shiva Brahma Sammanita. That Rakkak, to protect, like guardian of devotion, to protect what is given by Rupa and Sanatan, Raghunathas, Mahaprabhu himself, Srupa Damodar, from to show Vedic reference for what they've given. Rupa Goswami is writing so many things, and he's not, well, in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu, that's another case, but when he's writing Vidagdha Madhava, Lalita Madhava, Hansa Dutta, these things, doesn't find it necessary to give you shastric references to make you believe all these things. By the time you get to Rupa Goswami, that should be factored in. But Jiva Goswami is establishing the position of Rupa and Sanatan and defending them from those who would challenge the legitimacy, the authenticity of what they're giving, or imitationism. Right? To make cheap what has been given. Then we see that, and at the risk of sacrificing his own pratishta or reputation, as when the conquering pundit, they had men like this in India. They travel around challenging others to debate, and once they're defeated, then in their book they want to enlist your name. So, you know, defeated by so and so pundit on this day. So this pundit, he approaches Rupa Goswami. And Rupa Goswami, like, writing Vidagdha Madhava, like, oh, no debate necessary. Where do I sign? You know, defeated by you. Right? Whoa. Sanatana Goswami, writing Brihad Bhagavatam. Oh, not necessary. Just let me sign. Yeah. He's saying, this is easy. Wow. He goes, Jiva Goswami, as you can see, I already have the signatures of Rupa and Sanatana as being defeated by me. You want to just put your name in there, just, you know. And Jiva Goswami said, no, that's impossible. No, I have it right here. Let me see that. So then the parent is like, shh, 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 Taren, like, never. I'm their menial servant. You have to defeat me before you're not even. They didn't want to waste their time on you. So I'm their menial servant. You have to defeat me. If you're going to go around telling all this nonsense, you defeated Rupa and Sanatan. I who am no one, you know, try me. And of course, that man is destroyed by Jiva Goswami. But he has some epiphany and later becomes devotee. Understands that it's all Leela pastimes. This was his way of finding the truth, to be a Judas. Right? Sometimes it takes a special person to be a Judas-like personality, to take that the villain, the role of the villain, to get the mercy of the Lord's devotees. But then, sahajiyas, they will say, oh, just see, Jiva Goswami, he doesn't possess the type of humility of a Krishnadas Kaviraj. Jagai madhai hoite muise papishta, purise rikita hoite muise lagishta. I'm lower than the worm in the stool, I'm more sinful than Jagai and Madhai. See how humble is Kaviraj Goswami. And Jiva Goswami, that scholarly ego wouldn't allow him to sign as Rupa and Sanatan did. See, they misunderstand the divine Jiva Goswami Prabhu. He's willing to sacrifice the reputation of a humble Vaishnav to maintain the dignity of the Rupa Nuga line, the dignity of Rupa Goswami, of Jiva Goswami. But still, he's so young and so, surpassing everyone in intelligence. He writes a book, like, How to Learn Sanskrit. For his service, he went to Sanskrit school in Varanasi, Benares, right? Because you think, Rupa and Sanatan, they write all these amazing things in Sanskrit, but we don't know how they learned all those things. See, Braja Gopis, they're like young girls in Vrindavan, preteen and teen, and they make all these jokes, Sanskrit-based jokes. They don't normally speak Sanskrit, except to gods and goddesses. Normally, they talk bridge bully, like some local vernacular. But we see at times they make Sanskrit jokes, and so then we understand they know everything, but they're appearing like these young girls. That's their posturing. Once Gurumar said, half civilized, stupid jungle girls. That's how they pose. But then when you press, they know everything. They go, oh, I heard some Brahmins talking Veda and Purana, as if like that. But Jiva Goswami, out of Vrindavan, in Gaura Lila as Jiva Goswami, studies Sanskrit. But what is the end result? He writes a book, Harinamamrita Vyakaran. Like, if you want to learn Sanskrit, here's a book that uses names of Krishna to teach everything you need to know about Sanskrit. So what kind of a genius he is. But ever devoted to Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami Prabhu, but doing menial service for them. And we're told once, while Balabhacharya, a major Sanskritian, Sanskrit scholar, interpreter, visiting Rupa Goswami, and observed in his writing something, and he thought, I think you should correct this to be like this. And Rupa Goswami, oh, thank you, Prabhu. But Jiva Goswami overheard that. Then Balabhacharya is going like to the Jamuna for bathing. Jiva Goswami's down there like washing pots. And Jiva Goswami says, you know what Rupa road is perfect. What? Yeah. And then he starts explaining to him how what was written there is actually perfect from another point of view. And then Balabhacharya realized, like, oh, you're right. I didn't see that. Thank you. And he returns back to the ashram and tells Rupa Goswami, he said, who's that boy down by the ghat? like washing the pots. And Rupa Goswami, what? Well, he showed me how what you've written is actually perfect and that correction I suggested is wrong. And Rupa Goswami Little says, young boy, 16 or so, right? Yeah, I have an idea who it is. But that, at the time, displeased Rupa Goswami. Again, these are divine pastimes. So he's saying, he ousts Jiva Goswami from his ashram for this infraction. He's a young teenage boy and diminishing the prestige of this older scholar, Balabhacharya, So you're out. And then Jiva Goswami is like heartbroken. And as we know, they're like living under different tree, few days. He runs into Sanatana Goswami Prabhu. And he's saying, Jiva, why aren't you in Rupa Goswami? I thought you're staying with Rupa and his aunt. He said, oh, he ousted me from the ashram. Sanatana Goswami, why? And he explained, wanted to check the scholarly ego and the little incident with Balabhacharya. And Sanatana Goswami Prabhu decides to pay a visit to Rupa Goswami and have a word with Rupa. And he said, what kind of Vaishnavism are you practicing here at the ashram? And Rupa Goswami, what? What kind of, in the Vaishnava principle, Nama Ruchi, Jive Doya, what is it? Vaishnava Seva. And he starts sensing the mood, the heart of Sanatana Goswami, saying, we're cultivating the taste, the holy name, Name Ruchi, Vaishnava, to serve the Vaishnavas, but also, Jive Doya, how is any of this going to happen if the superior Vaishnavas are not merciful to the Jiva souls? And Rupa Goswami said, I'm trying to be merciful that I'm writing Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu and Vedagda Madhava. It's meant to be merciful to them. And Sanatana Goswami, yes, but there is this one Jiva nearby. And he's crying, he's very unhappy. This one Jiva soul, you're not, this one Jiva named Jiva, you're not being merciful to him. You ousted him from your ashram. So he said, and this, Balabhacharya gets chastised, Jiva Goswami gets chastised, Sanatana Goswami, is there a plane where this is possible? There is the Krishna conscious world. Right? Narada chastising Veda Vyas. As we know from Advaita Acharya, the higher devotee, they're seeking this type of punishment. As you said, Bali Maharaj, perhaps even see all of this is a ploy to get the grace of Vamandev. But don't become so clever and think, then I'll do something devious, mischievous, and I'll get the, As Guru Maharaj said in his Abhichet Sudaracharo Sloka, one man who heard that said, so then the higher Vaishnava will be the one who's the most deviant? And Guru Maharaj like chuckling and laughing, like, don't think like that, But it shows that the grace of the Lord, and especially as given through his devotees, knows no limits or boundaries. So, Srila Jiva Goswami Prabhu Avirbhav Maha Mahotsavatiti Ki Jai. Sri Vaman Avatar Avirbhav Maha Mahotsav Ki Jai. Nitai Go Premanande. Hare Krishna.